The Old Testament, this is the Hebrew Scriptures. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called The Message, is where I'm going to come from. But I encourage you to find your own favorite translation. But Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5 through verse 8, and hear these words. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our very midst. We also pray this morning, Lord, that our hearts may be open before you. And may the words, Lord, that you are speaking in this moment, may they come into our hearts and changing our very lives. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoke to me. And I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, that the words that I share, that they may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. Now you do, as I was sharing what Bill noticed this morning, you do notice there are a couple of things that are different up here. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to start a conversation, have this conversation about becoming the parent that you want to be. And I recognize that not all of us are parents. But even those of us that aren't parents, there's likely people in our lives who have, we've all had that experience, of people who are in our lives that have loved us just like parents, who are not our actual parents. And I'm sure that we have had that kind of feeling too, where we have reached out and we have offered love and we have shown some care and some support to people who were not our own children. But I also imagine that when you see a slide that pops up on the screen like that, that says back to school, that all of you have those feelings of what it means to go back to school, what it means to be back in school and in a place like school. Maybe you were happy that you didn't strap on a backpack and that you didn't find yourself in a classroom, that you're not getting ready for that experience tomorrow. But for me, as a pastor, but well beyond that, as a Christian, I think it is essential for us as we come together as the body of Christ, as we come together at Grace Point, as we come together as people of God, to be in places where we are able to equip parents to be the very people that God is calling them to be, because I know that can be extraordinarily challenging at times. Starting off, right out of the gate, this message that comes from Proverbs, starting off, I absolutely love this verse that comes from Proverbs chapter 3. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. And I know I'm a parent, I've gotten in significant trouble trying to do that in my own selves. Or the way that I first heard Proverbs chapter 3, the way that I first memorized it in my life, do not lean on your own understanding. And I will tell you, that is something I wish that I could tell you that I've got that at all figured out. But especially as a parent, that's something I fail at all the time. I always try to lean on my own understanding. But when you are in a place, when you trust that God is with you, and as a parent, when you don't lean on only your own understanding, it can equip you in amazing ways. And that's really the heart of what I want us to spend some time over these next few weeks, because it really can. It was last year, I remember finding myself on this idea about not leaning on your own understanding. I remember finding myself at middle school. It was my seventh grader. And at middle school, for open house, And it was a seventh grade classroom that we walked into that, and you know, I have a certain image. I have a certain idea about what a classroom is supposed to look like, especially in middle school. This was not it. When I walked in, this was not what I thought about, because my idea is that you have rows of seats, and you have desks, and you have a teacher's desk that is up at the front, and then you have chalkboards. Now my children tell me that chalkboards have not been a thing for many, many, many years, that they are dry erase boards, so all that kind of stuff. But when I walked into this classroom, there was alternative seating. And if you can imagine it, because I know that our lights are a little bit lower in this space, and I know that's something that even gets picked up online as well, but if you can imagine it, the lighting that was in that particular seventh grade classroom that was civics, and it was also a little bit of history that was tossed in there. The lighting in there was even lower than this. There was a sofa that was in the classroom. There were high-top tables that were in the classrooms. And I realized that there is a lot that I don't know about what happens in seventh grade classrooms right now. And then the teacher began to speak and said that some of the goals that they were going to have in this seventh grade classroom for this year was they were going to be discussing fake news and they were going to be discussing ChatGPT. And so then I realized, well, there's a lot that I don't know about what's going on in this classroom. But one of the interesting things about that experience is that I've read later that some of the ways that we tend to think, as far as parents and even adults now, is that some of those ways that we tend to think, and we look at our children and say, you know, your childhood is nothing like our childhood. There are some really smart people that are even writing books on that, and they're saying that is absolutely true. That is absolutely the case. Jonathan Haidt wrote a book just this year, March of 2024. It's called The Anxious Generation. It is one of those books that almost instantly shot up to the bestseller list, stayed on the list. It's even on there. It's in the top 10 list right now. Well, The Anxious Generation, March 2024, and says, one of the quotes that he has, this is in the introduction to the book, that says that by designing a fire hose of addictive content that has entered through our kids' eyes and ears, that they are experiencing things that not a single one of us ever experienced when we had our time in school. He said that the rate of technology, the rate of change is advancing so quickly. All of you have phones that have cameras on them now. The iPhone was invented. The iPhone added a rear-facing camera in 2017, and then added a front-facing camera in 2010, intended for FaceTime and video calls. And quickly after that front-facing camera was added, Instagram and Snapchat emerged right after that. Facebook will acquire Instagram in 2012 with some tremendous growth that explodes from that. And to say that the experience that our children are having is unlike anything that we have is absolutely true. It is changing quickly. So how do we become parents in a world that is like this? Well, it's this idea that comes from Proverbs. Don't try to figure it out on our own. One of those interesting things about not trying to figure out things on our own or not leaning on our own understanding is to recognize that we have a God that we can put all of our trust in. That as hard as it may be to understand the experiences and even just the simple things that some of the most youngest kids that are around us are going through, is that we have someone that we can turn to and we can place our trust in. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, this time from the King James Version, says it this way: trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. Because one of the opportunities that we have, this is not only as parents, but it's for every single one of us in the church, is that we are able to do all of this in learning and leading and loving our children, recognizing that we get to trust in a God who does know all of this. And so one of those things that I want to invite you as parents, and again, whether you have children that are in your home or whether you have people that you love as your own children, to take a moment and ask that as we try to become the kind of parents that God is calling us and even equipping us to be, is to take those ideas about what can I learn in a moment like this? Where do I need to lead in a moment like this? Where do I need to offer some love in a moment like this? And use that as kind of a guide as we think about becoming the kind of parents that God has invited us to become. Imagine being in situations as parents and asking, is there something in this situation that is heated as it may be, or as outlandish as it may be at times in our own minds and our own experiences? Imagine being able to say, to take a moment and pause and ask, what can I learn right here? What can I learn in this situation? Imagine if we were able to make, as a parent, learning a priority, not only for our children, but even for ourselves too. Peter Senge wrote this book called The Fifth Discipline. It's 1990. There's a little bit over 2 million copies of the book that has been sold. But one of the things, well, in fact, this book, The Fifth Discipline by Senge, again, written in 1990, Harvard Business Review said that it's one of the top business books of the 20th century. But one of the main points that he makes in this book is that organizations, business organizations, he says that as they become, if they have an ability to become a learning organization, he said they can continually expand their capacity to create the future that they envision, the future that they imagine. And imagine that. Imagine that from a business book, but imagine if we could take that same idea for us as parents and say, what is a moment? What is something that we can learn in this moment? One of my children not too long ago said to me, he said, you know what, Dad, you are older than Google. And so that's one of those things that, you know, is a moment to pause and say, yeah, there's probably a lot of stuff that's happening around me that I haven't learned yet. A lot of stuff that I just really don't know. And I know, for me, some of my best parenting moments have come when I've learned something, when I've taken in some brand new knowledge. The first full-time ministry position that I had, I was an associate pastor, and I was tasked with being a leader in a leadership role among teenagers. And one of the things about it is that these were parents who were raising teenagers at the time. Now, I had Anna and Thomas, and so they were babies that were there. But I was able to learn tremendously from these parents who had, they had went through some of the same places that I was going through. I remember one time in a moment, and a couple of you have complimented me on being able to talk with children like that. That is not something that comes easy or natural to me. When I do a children's moment like that, I have relied on places just like Grace Point, other United Methodist churches, where there have been people that have come to me and said, this is something you may want to try. In fact, one time when I was struggling to make a group of preschoolers listen to a book that I wanted to read to them, I had a retired teacher that came up behind me and said, hey, why don't you try this? Sit down on the floor. Now, what I was not expecting and what I was not prepared for, because as soon as I sat down on the floor, they listened to every single word of that story, but they also got as close to me as they could. They immediately came to me and got close to me. But, you know, those moments when we are able, even as parents, to say, you know, what can I learn in this moment? What's something that I can do? But also this idea about what could I do to lead in a moment? I mean, is there something, where do I need to lead in this moment? Proverbs invites us and encourages us to listen for God's voice in everything that you do, and also, and I don't know if you noticed that or not, but also in everywhere you go. This is the kind of leadership that God offers to us as parents. A couple of weeks ago, I was around Liz's nephew, who was a toddler, and he was playing around this kitchen. And it's a kitchen that had a burner on the had a burner that was on the stovetop there, and it would make a sound when you pushed a button. It would also light up red. And he had an ear of corn. Now everything about me was saying, before you put that on the burner, you've got to put that in a pan. You've got to spray the pan. There needs to be some butter close by. But he wasn't doing any of that. But he was taking the corn cob and he was placing it on the burner, and it was making the sound and it was lighting up red, and he was saying, ouch. And he was saying, ouch. And so one of the things about it is that in moments of leading as parents, when there's a hot stove, not a pretend stove, but when there's a hot stove, it's not a matter for learning. It's not a time for learning. That will come later, but it's a time for leading. It's a time for doing exactly what Proverbs reminds us of with this and saying, listen for God's voice. Everything that you do, listen for God's voice and everywhere that you go, because that is not a time. That is not a time to just learn something, but that is a time to lead. And finally, that moment of being able to say as a parent, and this is one that I still struggle with, where do I need to show love in this moment? Not where does my child need to offer me love, but where is God calling me? And how has God equipped me in this moment to show love in a unique place like this? There's an extraordinarily powerful verse, a very brief verse, short verse, 1 Peter 4:8. It's in the New Testament. It's even beyond, it's beyond the Gospels, so it's after the resurrection of Jesus. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, as Christians are coming together and discerning, how do we live this life? How do we live a life where Jesus has been raised from the dead? How do we live a life where God has overcome death, where God has overcome the grave and invited us to experience that kind of life? 1 Peter writes, love covers a multitude of sins. And being able to ask, in this moment, where can I show love? Where can my love cover up? Where can the love that we experience together cover this multitude of sins that, well, so easily divides us? Can I offer love in this situation? And so just taking a moment to think about that, is this a moment that I can learn something here? Is this a moment to really show some leadership, or is this a moment where love can cover that multitude of sins? And really asking ourselves, who are the parents that we want to be? And even as a church, what kind of church do we want to be to equip parents that are here in our midst? And even asking ourselves, how can our love for parents even take us there? You have heard me say this over and over. This quote that comes from John chapter 10, verse 10, that says, where Jesus tells us, Jesus says, this is why I've come to this world. This is why I've come here. I've come so that they can have real and eternal life, a more and better life than they have ever dreamed of. And so that's what I'm really inviting you to think as a parent. And again, as you reach out and as you love and as you care for those children that are around you, what does that mean? What does that mean to have a more and better life than any of us have ever dreamed of? What does that mean for us as parents? And what does that certainly mean for our children? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we do thank you for the many gifts and the resources that you give to us. We thank you, O God, for the learning, the curiosity that we bring together as people who are created in your image. And this morning we ask you to equip us once again, Lord, to offer prayers and blessings for parents as well as for children. And we pray and ask, Lord, that as we bind together in prayer, we ask you this morning, Lord, that what we bind together in prayer on this earth that you may loose and that you may unleash your love and your grace and your mercy over this whole earth, and especially over our children this year. But we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you please stand?
And now I would like to, well, how many of you have experienced those moments in worship where there's been a call to the altar? A call where you come down to the front and you invite the entire church to come and to pray for you? That's what we're going to invite our children to do this morning, who do have plans for the rest of this week as they start in school. And so they brought their backpacks, and so I would like to invite y'all. Y'all come and y'all know what to do at the altar. Y'all have learned this and experienced this in us. So y'all come down, Elijah and Aaron, y'all come down, Brady and Lakin, and they've worn their backpacks. And would y'all join with them at the altar? And what we're going to do is we're going to lift up prayers. We're going to lift up prayers that they may experience a safe year. We're going to lift up prayers that God will be with them. And so if you would like to, if you would just like to place your arm or your hand on the back of them or on their shoulders, and if you would like to together like that, the Bible's taught us, it's extraordinarily clear on this, that as we do, that as we pray in one accord, that God hears and God answers those prayers. And so what we'll do is we're going to lift up individual prayers for them. And you will notice that these wonderful prayer cloths that many of you have put together and that you have prayed for, we're going to share them with them as they begin this new year. So I invite you, if you would join with me as we pray and as we lift up Lakin this morning. Lord, we thank you for Lakin and the life that she lives in our church and the life that she lives with her family. And just pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you may watch over her and that you will keep her safe throughout this year. We thank you, O God, for all of those people that surround her and love and care for her. And Lord, may you richly bless her and her life. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let us all pray for Brady. Lord, we thank you for Brady and for his life. We thank you for your love and your grace that you shine upon him. And Lord, ask that you will be with his parents, grandparents, nieces, and nephews, as well as aunts and uncles, and that you, Lord, may surround all of them with your love. May this year for him, Lord, be one that he grows in wisdom and maturity with you, as well as with one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us lift up Aaron. Lord, we thank you for this start and beginning in Aaron's life, Lord. We pray and ask that you will be with him in this transition to a new school. And pray, Lord, that you'll be with his parents and that you may let him grow, Lord, in faith with you and also in wisdom with those that he's around. May you keep him safe and may you, oh God, speak into his heart as he embraces that calling that you have placed upon him, Jesus, that as he grows and matures in faith, we pray, Lord, that you will be with him. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.